Genesis. What's it mean? The word Genesis.
Oh.
Beginning. In Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it says, through faith we understand. That's got to be one of the strangest statements anywhere in the Bible. Because we don't see faith as something that's concrete that causes us to understand. It's like some kind of a nebulous something that's kind of hanging out in space. You know, it's like, some people have faith and some people don't have faith, and it's kind of a mysterious thing. But the Bible says here, through faith we understand. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so what happens is that without people understanding it, the constant intake of the Word of God increases the faith. And after a while, faith becomes so strong in people that they will die for what they understand through faith. And I was thinking this last week that about the only account that we have of creation, of things before and things, you know, I mean, that's about the only thing we have is out of the Bible. We don't really have anything else. We have a lot of speculations. We have a lot of theories. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God. And then John takes off on that in the very beginning of the Gospel of John, and he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we got the same thing, in the beginning, God. And I was thinking this last week that most people, and I don't know most people, but lots of people spend a lifetime. I know some people that have spent years trying to figure out whether God is real or not. If there really is a God or there isn't a God. As if that the way God has set things up is if we can figure him out. And especially since the Bible says that his ways are past finding out. And so that has been a real revelation to me as this has slowly been sinking in. It's like I'm trying to figure out a God whose ways are past finding out.
Barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. And the wrong tree. Joe's birthday is today. I don't know if he's coming or not, but anyway, Joanne found a card for him this morning, and it says, and I got it sitting here, it's something about that he was from the family tree. Is that what you said? Or what it says on there, something? And then you open it up, and it says, and others are hanging from some of the top upper branches. Well, anyway, I don't believe that, but... but anyway, we'll never figure out God. It's an impossibility. And so this is one of the revelations, and we have been discussing this back and forth recently. One of the things that really began to come to me. Jesus said, no man knows the Father except the Son. And so... Of course, our objective, and we've been discussing this, the objective is for us to know God. That's what he wants, you know. Jesus said eternal life is to know the only true God. That's eternal life. And it's not that that's less, but it's an and. The one, you know, the one that he sent. And so... Of course, we want to find God. We want to know God. We want to have the relationship with the Father that Adam had and that the second Adam had. You know what I mean? We want that relationship. So the objective is to find God, but we can only... But Jesus said, no man knows the Father except the Son and whoever he will declare him. And so the only, and there is no man has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so we have to find the Son to find the Father. I guess that was where I have been chasing this thing around lately. I mean, I've been all over the map, so. And, but anyway, as long as men insist upon trying to figure God out, I mean, the one that created them, they will remain on the outside looking in. However, if and when men really begin to get serious, you know, that's what this voice asked me. It said, if you're really serious, and begin to seek after God with all of their hearts, then God will make a way to find him. See? That's why I said, I'm not sure what voice I heard anymore. I don't know if God was speaking to an angel or if Jesus, the Son of God, was speaking and said, if you want to find me. Because what has happened is we have begun to find the Son. And as a result of that, we are beginning to find aspects, nature, things of the Father. God is not a person. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a man. I mean, he somehow resided in his Son, and it said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So we know that there's a, you know, and this whole thing is a, even the confusion factor thing as we're trying to talk about it. Because God is awesome. And for here it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And the hard part of that, okay, so let's suppose we believe that. The next hard part is to believe that this actually is the same nature, substance that created the heavens and the earth. By the intake of this word, that's what it says in 2 Peter 1, we become partakers of God's divine nature, but I tell you what, that nature begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the secret, and that's where this whole thing, and so if we make Jesus into deity, we miss the relationship. I have come to the realization that this revelation of the identity of the humanity of Christ is so awesome and so necessary that without that relationship, Jesus said, eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. We have to know him as he is. This is a major, major revelation that we have to have. And so somebody asked me just the other day, in a kind of an argumentative way, not anybody here, but somebody asked me and he said, well, if so-and-so does this, does that mean they're not going to be saved? And I said, that's not for me to judge. And if they live like this and they do these things, are they still okay? And I said, that's not for me to judge. I can't judge that. We can't pass judgment on what we see anybody do. That's why we've got to be so careful. But I said, but there is a judge that judges all of these things. We've got to leave that up to him. And the thing is, we can't make excuses for who we are and what we do or try to get away with something. And this is that was the other thing that I've been really thinking about this last week. Remember the rich young ruler? He says, what good thing can I do? And you know what? He was not alone. That's who we are. What good thing can I do? And meanwhile, God is looking at this thing, and he's not really looking at the good things that we do. He's looking at what we want him to be in our lives. I don't know if I said that right, but whether we want him to be the creator that made us, the one that we turn to, the one that we are devoting our life to, or what do we want, you know? And so anyway, many have tried to find God and the world at the same time. But God can never be mocked. I'm trying to think, read here what I wrote down, just thinking about this thing. And so, if people are not seeing, the voice asked me, it said, if you're serious. And one of the most important things I heard in this whole conversation was, if you're really serious. And you know what? It got to me. And I thought about that many, many times. I thought, you know what? I have said, well, like Peter did, Lord, everybody else can leave, but I'm not me. And I would have said, I am probably one of the most serious people you've ever met. You know? And but the Lord sees right through all that. He said, if you're really serious. And it has caused me to do lots and lots of thinking. Just that one the first statement I heard. And it's like, in the day that you seek after me with all of your heart, amen, you'll find me. If you're really serious. And so the question is then, how serious do I need to be?
Really serious.
You follow what I'm saying? How serious do I need to be? If in the day I seek after him with all of my heart, you know what that means? Now we're getting back to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who delights. No, that's not what it says. I'm going to read that. That's not what it says. But it says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It doesn't say one of his delights. His delight, his life, is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And on this Word does he meditate day and night. How serious is that? Well, I don't know how or why. I don't know what happened, but somehow the Lord did a number on me until I said, you know what? I understand that that Word created all things. It was the nature of God's Word. I don't know how to describe it. But that Word can do something inside of me that I can't put a finger on. I can't describe it. I can't define it. I can't anything else. But that Word somehow has the ability, working inside of me, to create what God wants me to be. And so while we've been sitting here and saying, what good thing can I do? What must I do? I have said, I just told somebody that on the phone just recently. And they said, well, what do I do? And I said, well, let me tell you. And they said, well, I like to do this. I said, while you're doing this and liking to do this and whatever else, keep the scriptures playing. Well, that'll be interference. I said, I've been doing that for years. I've been watching some things on TV at the same time the scriptures are playing. And you know what? God works through these things until after a while. You know what? I'm having a hard time to find anything on TV I even want to watch. I still do. I won't be watching anything, you know, like from 7 o'clock tonight or until. But only the brave are going to do that. But I did tape it, Corky. The answer, the secret, is the scriptures playing, hearing. And I thought, what would Smith Wigglesworth have done if he would have had a CD player? He'd have wore them out. Yeah, Bonnie said, they wear out fast. They do it too. But they make cheap ones now. They're pretty reasonable. Anyways, I'm thankful. Yes, it's a new year. I'm thankful for what has happened up to this point. And I have faith, confidence in God. You know, through faith I understand that we haven't seen the end of this thing. Thank you.
I think I'm seeing or been given something to see. How God may move a little bit. Okay, this is just stepping out here a little, but you know, I just tried to find it. There's one verse where it's Jesus is speaking and he says, and when the man of heaven comes, and I don't understand that. But then I kept reading. I was reading in John, so I'm sure it's in John somewhere. But see, this thing about born from above and so forth, it's really been in the back of my spirit somewhat because, see, Jesus, all of a sudden, when he somehow was accountable to where he knew who his real father was, see, everything changed for him. It says, and he says that he was taught by his father. And it was like, I mean, taught and saw lots of things from his father. And so to him, now you have to kind of, I don't think I'm stretching this. To him, so where's he from? My father's in heaven, and this is not my world, he said. Well, that same spirit that covered Mary, that brought about the creation of Jesus Christ, and it is a creation, I believe it's the same spirit that does that for you and me. It's just that we're not, you know, we have these shortcomings, we're sin, but it's to attain the same place where you one day here, and I'm starting to feel it a little bit, where you just start referring to yourself at a whole different tense or place. It's like a heavenly. It's like, hey, I'm of my Father in heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm really short of that right now, but I can see and by faith that he can get us there. I started thinking about, well, what's, I got to be real vague here yet for a while, but I'm questioning the Lord on this to know if it's for sure or not, but in the last few months, especially in the last week or two, I've had people say things to me that just made no sense as to who I am. And it's like, God, I don't even know these people all that well. And they're like, I don't know. I see, because I know it can't be me. Because there's just no way that I'm that likable or whatever, you know, in a sense. I mean, truly. So I have this feeling that he's putting something out there in front of that's coming. Yes. Well, you know what it says? It says that they should see him in you. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're seeing, see? Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, I started, it's like he let me see that, and I'm going, God, this has to be you because, you know. So anyway, I started thinking about the guy, I think he was a Methodist preacher that came to this country or whatever and was rode on a horse from town to town or whatever. Can't remember who it was, but it says that he would walk into a factory and they would just all be convicted. Now stop and think about that. Now who's doing that? Sure wasn't him. Sure was something going before him, wasn't it? And that's the little glimpse where I would say, I'm saying, be prepared to look for unusual things to happen that are not in the church. You know, maybe we are supposed to give one last shout to the church, because it says God wants to judge his own, you know, first or whatever. But after that, I don't even know what to expect. But it will be phenomenal, unheard of, or just, you know. I mean, because think about that. His Spirit. If it goes before you, I mean, what would make all these people all of a sudden, other than some form of conviction that only He can do, not because one fell down on their knees and started repenting, the whole place fell down on their knees and started repenting. Now, He can do that anywhere He wants. He can do that in a bar. I mean, He can do it in a church too, which He may very well do. He can do it in a restaurant. He can do it anywhere He wants, when He wants it done. See, that's the confidence I'm starting to have in my God, and which also shows me how much I'm lacking, but that's okay too. That's a good thing, you know. And when Jesus, you know, and then I, so for the heck of it, I got caught up, and I started translations. You know, and the minute I see scholar anymore, I get real fearful. But, you know, even in the King James Version, which was, I believe, in 1661, was probably the, I think that's what they say. Already, they were interpreting the Godhead. Because, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but like in mine here, it says, and so anything relating to the deity and so forth is in capital, is cap, like man, M-A-N, when it says Jesus, they capitalize it. So whenever they're referring to the Son of Man, they capitalize it. So they're making an assumption of His deity. Now, that's been there since 1661, right? Or maybe before that. Yeah, I think I heard Gene say. So, and see, it isn't that it was good they got together and they, and you know, part of it was just, I mean, every language is not going to translate the same from the Hebrew and the Greek. I mean, they're all going to have a way that they can relate in their language. So some of it's going to be, you know. So and so it has to be done to a certain degree. And I like this New King James just because I don't want to interpret the thous and these and f's on the end of things, you know, which is not my language. That's the language that came from Europe. I'm not a European, you know. That's why. And see, this is how silly we get. But that's why I only buy the CDs where the guy's speaking more straight English. It bothers me when I hear this guy with an accent. But anyway, that's just me. And it doesn't matter, you know. So the fact is, there's a verse here, and it says in John chapter 6, 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So, what scholar do I need? What learned wise man do I have to hear from? You know, and I'll tell you, people can come up with all kinds of arguments about, yeah, but this is what they did in the Old Testament. I don't care, because this is now. And you know what? God showed something then. I mean, He set up the law that said, hey, if you take another man's life, yours is going to be taken. Because that's what He wanted then. And I'm not going to argue with it. But that is not what the new covenant is. See, that the thing that I'm beginning to see, Jesus, it's totally in the face of humanity how He asks you to be and that how He was. Totally against everything. Turn your cheek. Love your enemies. Lay your life down, you know, for the insignificant one, not the one that loves you, you know. And sacrifice yourself and just go out of your way. Love, give, you know, which I lack. So many of those. But the potential is there. And I'm beginning to see now where, you know, it's like I don't have to defend a government. I just got to abide under it. You know, because it says to. Until it dissolves or changes into another one. Whatever. I'm not concerned about what goes on there. I need to be concerned about who I am in Him. You know. And what He wants. You know. Because, you know what? Everything Jesus did and that God does contradicts the world. And that's why it confounds the wise. And He makes it simple for us foolish ones. You know, who don't know anything. The best thing you can do is not know anything. I'm finding out. I mean, that has set me, that made me free, you know. Which I, by the way, I looked in the NIV and see, they went and changed that. And they thought it sounded better to say set free. And I sat and thought about it. I thought, does it really matter? And then I thought, well, yeah, I think it does somewhat in that case. I would rather be made than just set off free. See, that made means something happens in here, you know. And man, this word has been doing that, you know. So, it's... And I just started listening to all the things that Jesus says, and it's like... I don't care if He was there from the beginning, because you know what? It was in... I'm really beginning to feel it's just because it was in the Father in the beginning. He knew what He was going to do. You know? He said, for 4,000 years, I'm going to have them live under the law. And then I'm going to change it. But I'm going to tell them about it all along, those that want to hear. You know, and have an eye to see and hear. That they would believe the prophets. And they, many of them did. Who was his name that was there with when Jesus was born, and he said, now I can go home because I've seen the promise.
Simeon,
yeah, with the yeah, during Zechariah and all that time when Mary and Elizabeth, you know, had the babies and stuff, and why? Sure, you know what? If Jesus, He would go up in the mountain by Himself. Now, if He's His only begotten Son who He loves, He's going to share whatever He wants with Him. I mean, there are times when it says Jesus, He knew things ahead of time. And then in the moment sometimes, it wasn't there. Just because, you know what? The Father's testing Him. The Father tested Him more than He'll probably ever test us. You know, which is a good thing. That's right, Tim. As I said that, I went, yeah, and that's a good thing. But He passed it. And see, there's a certain grace and mercy in that that covers us. Not that we really want to take advantage of it, but you need to know it's there so that the enemy can't condemn you, you know, in your walk, which is always at work. I mean, I can go a long time and never feel it. And then all of a sudden I cave in a little, you know, because He's just good. But God's better and greater, you know. And so a lot of this stuff, I mean, isn't it funny that humanity thing is, it's so true how Keith's been putting it. It's a lot bigger than we think.
Yes, it is.
It is truly such a false curtain in front of everybody that keeps them from seeing, you know, from having the veil. You know, that veil didn't hardly get lifted. Once you took that back, it's like you put the veil back over your face. You know? That's not what the Father wants. You know? And guess what? The God in that Old Testament that took armies and slaughtered people, no mercy, you know, like Joshua, He told him, kill everything. Sometimes, and then others, He said, make sure you kill everything except the livestock and the goods that you can take for your own. That same God is the one who says, turn your cheek. Because now, I mean, all I can say, it's a different covenant. It's a different time. Yeah. And even the time in that covenant from in the disciples, so it's gotten tainted terribly. Mm-hmm. And so, But it's the same God. Jesus was speaking the heart of God, which became His heart. And the Father knew that, you know? And that's the same heart He wants to build in us. It just takes more. Takes us longer. You know, we're just not Him. Well, I wasn't overshadowed. My mother wasn't, you know, overshadowed by the Spirit of God. But, see, that same Spirit overshadowed me later when I confessed and was born again. That's the same Spirit. And it can have the same effect. And that's the encouragement we should have and the hope we should have. And that should build the faith that Keith was talking about that makes us begin to see things where the rest doesn't matter, you know? There was a time when I thought, well, I knew something about God. I better let everybody know, you know? And now it's like, it's harder in a sense to be quiet and know. But because it needs to be built. I mean, it needs to really be formed that this invisible God and invisible Spirit is mightier than anything in this universe is working for you and I.
Amen.
Oh, man, you know? And you can't just go tell somebody that right away. But if He's the one that the Father said, you know, Jesus said, I just reached the ones the Father gave me to reach. Those I have kept. And once they're in His hand, it says, nothing can take them away. So that's who we want to be looking for, along with ourselves. You know? Amen.
Ah, Lord, overshadow me. Overshadow me. Just as you overshadowed Mary. Overshadow me. A couple things. You know, Keith was referring to faith being the substance of things hoped for. And I read someplace that in the Greek, talk about Ken's translation here a little bit, but in the Greek, that notion of the substance, it is the substantiating. It's not a thing, but a process. You know, so faith is the substantiating of things hoped for. And if you substantiate, I suppose what you do is you take a situation where there was no substance and you go through some process and after that there's a substance. You know? So that's what, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a mistranslation when you say it's the substance. It's a process. It's a substantiating, you know. So, but isn't that something where it says, through faith we understand? You know, isn't that the funniest thing you ever heard?
Yes, it is.
In a way.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything that isn't understanding, it's the process of faith. You know?
Yes.
But maybe that's not so totally true. Maybe once you have entered into that place of faith, there is something along the lines of understanding that occurs. You know, it's a kind of understanding that happens then. I don't know. But still, on his face, hey, through faith we understand. No. through faith we don't need to understand. It's a little more the way it goes, you know, or whatever. You know, maybe if we don't need to understand, we do understand. I don't know. One other thing, and then I'll get down. You know, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him there in John 6 that before Abraham was, I am.
Boy, that sounds like a claim to divinity to me. You know, it does. It sounds like a claim to divinity. And yet, I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is. I believe Jesus was a man, and he wasn't claiming to be anything other than a man. How do you reconcile that? You know, he tells them that before Abraham was, I am.
He saw Satan fall like lightning.
He didn't see Satan fall like lightning. That's right. Yeah. Well, as Ken was bringing what he was bringing, I don't know if my mind was wandering or what, but it did occur to me, Ken was talking about how he spent the whole night with his father. And if that communion was so tight, whatever, maybe Jesus really, really, really could say, before Abraham was, I am, even though he had just been born less than 30 years before, you know. Maybe he is so tied in with the Father. You know, you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Maybe that wrapping together or whatever you want to say is so great that when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And besides, you know, mixing up the temporal and the eternal, you know, it's all, it's all eternal. Doesn't make a lick of difference whether it's before or after or whatever, you know. So, whatever proof text they might have for the divinity of Christ, it just doesn't, it's not there. It's not there. It's maybe it doesn't, in some kind of sense, I don't know, maybe it doesn't make a whale of a lot of difference. Whether in some sense, I suppose you call Jesus divine. You're not hitting the throwing the dart on the bullseye by saying it, but hey, it's in the neighborhood of the divine. Some, I don't know. You're full of God. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, and yet I don't. You know, hey, through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. You know, and that's just fine by me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say in the eternal realm. You know, yeah, so that just changes everything. But on the note of faith, by faith that you understand, because then, I mean, you know. I mean, you know that, you know. Betty going, I know that I know. Well, she knows that she knows because of faith, you know. Not that it did anything up in here, but it's like you know it. So, you know, it's that thing. It's a whole different thing. And then the, what was the thing, Charlie? The, not substance, but substantiating?
Yeah.
As I always said. Well, yeah, that fits because we are growing, we are becoming, it's all a process, and that's the whole thing. And we will be one with the Father and His Son, you know, because that's the process that it's like you can't explain it in your English language, I don't believe. I think it's just spiritually known somehow, and sometimes you know it, and it's like, oh, clarity, and I got it, it's right in here, I got it. But if I tried to like tell you, I'd just never be able to tell you. I would just mess it all up. And so to say that, I mean, I just, to me, it's all encouraging. It's all encouraging. We don't know anything. We don't know anything, but we know everything, or we are beginning to know everything, or we're beginning to know what we need to know. We're beginning to know Him. That's the thing. We got to begin to know Him. Not about Him, Him. Then, you know, I'm glad Keith is... I'm glad that he's confident but when he gets up there and he says, you know what I do? I just feel like, yeah, and I am so far away from that. I am just never going, you know, I mean, I can, in the natural, I can just go, I'm just like, what? It's more important to go shopping than it is to be spending time with my father. You know, I mean, we are really... I don't know what's going to happen in this country, but it wouldn't hurt us one single little bit if it just went kafooey and we had to just rely on Him. That would be the best. I mean, here I am saying it. That would be the best thing that could happen for us spiritually. Don't anybody blame me. But you know, I mean, there's people who their lives are on the line. They're all this. The most important thing to them is their relationship with Him. And we get all worried about, oh, this little law here, or that thing there, and this president did that, and that one didn't do this. What? What? Our kingdom is not of this world. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I mean, that has got to be the whole thing. And I know all that. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. I know all that. But I don't live. That's my problem. I don't live like that's what it is. And really, I want to live like it is. So, okay, whatever it takes. I hate saying that because then, whoa, what's it going to take? You know, my flesh just goes, oh, scary. But yet, you know, anything, you know, whatever trial you've gone through, if it's brought you into this place with the Lord, you know it is worth it. He is worth it. He is worth it.
Okay. She's younger.
In other words, it's better felt than telt.
Yeah, that's it, Joanne. Exactly. It's better felt than telt.
There's a. Oh, I'm sorry, Corky.
You were busy.
For Gene's benefit, well, for all of our benefits, but it's hard for us to recognize and understand this, but the Apostle Paul was in the same shape that we're in.
Yes.
And so here he is, the Apostle sent to the Gentiles that has seen unbelievable visions, has had all kinds of experiences, and had handkerchiefs taken from his body, and, you know, and I don't know when he wrote the seventh chapter of Romans, but it could have been right away, but it doesn't matter. He says exactly the same thing. He says, I know what I want to be. I know what I'm supposed to be. I know what God wants me to be, but here I am. The good I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Okay. Who's going to deliver me from this flesh? Who's going to deliver me? And then he says, I thank God for Jesus Christ. And then he makes a statement in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's happening to us? And I'll tell you what happened when I, right away, quick, I was given a faith understanding. You know what the faith understanding was? And it basically, it was pointed right at me. It said, Keith Gunn, if you will take this word and you will consume it day and night, the word will create in you what God wants. And that's why I have been so dogmatic and stubborn. Because I knew what, that was the thing, it will make me what God wants.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, Keith got up and within 2 minutes said something and my brain just stopped. Because he said, no. He said, you will know. And my brain goes, Knowing and faith are not, it's oil and water. If you know something, you're not doing anything in faith. You can't do something in faith if you know. The definition of faith is doing something that doesn't make sense and having the belief that it's still going to be that way. And then everything else. And I thought, well, this is really bad because there was a lot of good things. Then all of you have kept coming up and kept coming back up to, what does it mean to know? If I say only what the Father tells me to say, is Jesus just saying, is Jesus deity when he says, before Abram I was? Was that Jesus talking, or was he saying what the Father told him to say? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I guess two different thoughts. Brother Ken has kind of just sparked this thing, and it just keeps going off in my head about you can't intellect your way. So when you say no, no implies intellect. And I really am backing away from intellect. Really backing away from no. So maybe that's why that really grabbed me this morning. I have faith that God is going to change me. I have faith that I can go where I need to go. I have faith that I can do what God wants me to do. Not because I know, because I have faith that He will meet me. If I'm doing it because I know, I'm just, that's kind of like works. That's just, that's down in the dirt. That kind of gets away from the spiritual and goes more to the natural. And then we spent a good time this morning talking about the humanity of man. You know, something struck me today during all these really good testimonies. There's a phrase that we used around here many, many years. I haven't heard it in a long time, which is probably good because when I thought about it, and we used to talk about dying to self. So today I'm thinking about dying to self. What is, who cares? How about die to God? We are talking about all the things that we know we haven't given up yet. I'll talk about me, but there's things like food, warmth, clothes, wealth, comfort. Those things seem to be important to me. Much more so than if I look at the Word, than they should be. And as people have said, I'm just not there yet. And as Keith just pointed out, Paul, who probably had a really good insight to that, was sitting there in that battle going, I know what I should be, I know where I want to be, and I'm trying to bring these two to be me, and I'm just failing miserably at it. That's why I've gone up here and shared, there's something really special and unique about Enoch that we just don't talk about. Only because in the natural, before the new covenant, for hundreds of years he walked in a way that was pleasing to God. To a level that he, you know, he's unique. The dude must have been doing it right. And I don't know how, I mean, through the grace of God. It is really good to evaluate and look at ourselves and acknowledge the fact that we have a lot of growth to do. It's also good to acknowledge how much God is doing in us. I mean, I listen to the testimonies and I am encouraged, not discouraged. And there was this phrase of knowing who He is and who we are and understanding the gulf there. That's a great thing. And yet, I know where He is, and I know where I'm at, and I've moved a little closer. The big scheme of things. Not so much that it would, you know, but I'm closer because I'm trying to live this. And finally, you know, Ken was sharing his heart in a good way where, you know, we forget how much God is in control. because we just don't see things in a way that reinforce that. I mean, we look at the world and we go, how can God, you know, what is God allowing to go on? Because we don't understand the plan. But when God wants to move with you or with me or with anybody else, it's just going to happen. And if we can, put us not in an equation, which is hard, those of us who have been trained to go forth and to share the good news, it's hard to say, well, yeah, I got to know, but I don't know when I go forward, and you know, but God will make the way. I mean, I've had two or three experiences in my life where I didn't even know God was doing what he was doing. And he did a tremendous thing. Which is probably why. Because I was not aware of what was going on, therefore I didn't screw it up. Or I didn't try and insert me into it. I just let God be God. So, I don't know. Maybe yammering too long, but I don't want to know. I want to know in my heart. Faith is knowing in my heart, not knowing in my head. Man, that's the battle.
Yes, amen.
Boy, I was going along and I was worried. Then right at the end, Corky just put it together. Because no, I went, no, you can't know. Paul says, I want to know him in his suffering. And da-da-da, you know, so my head, but at the same time I was going, this is why we share, because people bring it from a different perspective. And it's where you're at too, you know, each one of us, where we're at. But, and yeah, when you start to know in your heart, that also increases faith. You know, so, it, you know, let me throw a little thing out here for you about Abraham. So do you think God said to Abraham, and in your seed, I'm, you know, it's going to produce. So then God for the next 400 years is deciding on how he was going to do that? If he gave Abraham the seed, he already had the answer of the seed. Which was who? His son. Now, if now here I'm really going humanity here, or humanness, I guess. So God's talking with his son. And he said, hey, you know what I told Abraham? Well, I was talking about you. That's you. You know, I knew I was going to have you. So then Jesus goes, well, I found out before Abraham was, I am. You know? Or it can be the same way. Corky said it too, if he's speaking for his father. I mean, his father, you know. So, I mean, see, those kind of things. All of a sudden now, because I just it seems like by listening to the Word, God has shared more and more about who he is. And none of that, see, that doesn't, that sounds pretty normal to me now, or pretty feasible. I mean, because God knows everything, always has, always will. So, you know, like Gene said, yeah, you can't try to put eternal with right now. I mean, our minds, they weren't made to do that. But, see, that's the impossible part of God. If he wants you, you can understand, you know. The things that are not seen. The things that are just not known in books and whatever. One encouraging thing that just, and I didn't need to hear it to know, but I read in the preface of the beginning of the New Testament in my Bible, and it said, you know, there is more, countless more documents, manuscript, everything supporting the New Testament books than any other thing written in the world. No other form of whatever you want to call it, a book, has more backing than the New Testament with everything written in it that substantiates that it was there. You know, and that's just I don't think we need that to know, but it is nice. I mean, it kind of helps. I don't know how I'm saying that, but it just, because sometimes that's the argument with people in the world, you know. Where do you get that? That's just some guys writing it. Well, there's nobody else in this world that ever wrote anything else about any other book. Yeah, just to mention it, and then they can go off and do what they want with it. You know, I don't care, because I know that's Word of God is, oh. You know, everything that reverberates in me many times is the scripture that says, only my word is eternal. Nothing else. Everything gets rolled up except my word. It's eternal. Now, that's something to understand, and when you do, that creates faith. Because then you, it's funny, I'm beginning now, yeah, I look and I want to be open to believe every word in this thing, you know? I don't understand some of them yet, because, you know, but it's just incredible. I mean, when you think about it, you're not doing anything, which is great, you know? That's why when it is good. I like reading a little bit every now and then, which I just happened to do in the last few months about reading the what it says in the beginning of the Bibles, you know. And it's like, well, you can think and translate all you want, but unless God translates it into you, you ain't gonna get it. It's not gonna ever make sense, you know. And it's a promise he gives. It's like, how did we not see that promise in 17? 16, you know? I'm going to send that. I mean, it gets repeated like, I don't know, 8-10 times. Who the helper is coming to help? The Spirit of Truth. And we just, we never saw it. You know? I didn't know that guy was there to help me. I shouldn't say guy. It's not right. But... And now it's like, yeah, you know, I do. I'm not condemned at all to be watching TV with the thing playing right next to me. See, because I have faith that I know the Spirit reaches me. I don't have to hear it in my natural ear. And, you know, I'm playing at night and whatever, and still don't play it constantly everywhere I go. But, you know... But I also like times when I'm not listening to it and I'm just meditating on it, you know? Just going along and letting God present whatever he wants, and then you kind of mull it over and chew it, you know, for food and see what comes of it. That's good too. I used to like, there was a few times, I think it was before... Might have been before I started listening, but I would travel from the cities, you know, on Thursday nights to come home. And I would turn everything off in the van, you know, all the radio and everything, and just drive and just let whatever, I'd contemplate the day, I'd think on the Lord, you know, I'd think about my family, whatever. It was just a good time to let all the noise of everything go away and let whatever should be there, supposedly be there, you know, be there. And that's a good thing to do. I really would encourage to do it once in a while. It's just, you know... there's a quietness that can do things. So, but yeah, our God is great. I love him. I love his son. I need to be more like his son. Oh, you know, and I just constantly am bewildered at how a man could have done what he did, you know. But it makes more sense. It has to be a man that did it, or it wouldn't make any sense. Really, you know? I mean, how can you have a sacrifice? And it had to be his blood. God set that all up in his old covenant and said, that's one thing I will do one last time to bring in the new covenant. I'll follow all that. Then that's done. You know, I have a question, if anybody knows. Do they still do any kind of sacrifices in Israel?
No.
Well, how come?
No temple. They don't have a temple.
He's the temple.
Oh, that's it. That's what it is.
They say that it will be restored.
Yeah. Huh, that's interesting. I didn't know it. I didn't know it had to be at a specific temple. Because I thought you could have an altar wherever.
I think there's the book of Revelation speaks to that.
Okay. Okay. See, that's something there that just I kept thinking, well, you know, they profess da da da, but they're not even keeping the law by keeping the the sacrifices. But well, that's the part I've missed.
To restore the sacrifices.
Huh?
They really want to restore the sacrifices.
Which in a sense still is, yeah, anyway, that's between them and God. Yeah, okay. All right. Sorry I took up the time here, but that was something. See, I did. That was just something I hadn't perceived, and it's good to know then.
Now I know you could jump on them. Why they might follow the
I can feel your faith when you say that something's coming. I have the exact same feeling in myself. And it's a good feeling. I like it. And I think it's all right that we don't know what's coming. I think it's good that we don't know exactly in detail what we're going to become, you know, or do. I like that idea. I don't really want, you know, I don't want him to tell me or prophesy or, you know, tell me how great things I must suffer for his namesake. Surprise me, you know. I'd rather not think about that stuff, really. I mean, it's distracting, you know. It really is. But what we've been talking about here this morning is the difference between the spirit and the flesh. And, you know, I ran into this thing in John here. I'll just read it.
Keep talking to him. I'm going to see if this is working.
Okay. Okay, he says in John 5:25, he says, "Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." This is referring to spiritually dead people, you know. That means people alive. I used to be dead, you know. And he can save you wherever. You know, he kind of nailed me on a side street in Salt Lake City, Utah, when I was walking down it. But, you know, this is talking about people that are dead spiritually. And it sounds kind of crass or rude, but, you know, it's the truth. The world outside, it's dead. And it's filled with dead people. And when I look back on my life in natural, you know, in the past and all that, I truly was. I was dead. I was a dead guy, and I woke up in a dead world, you know. And there's no life at all. I was dead. And the worst part was, I didn't even know I was dead. I didn't know about life, you know. But when this happened, you know, he says the hour is coming, and now is. Now. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I heard his voice, and I became alive. I was regenerated in the spirit. And this is the difference between the spirit and the natural. Okay, I had a natural father, and his DNA combined with my natural mother to produce this body that we see before us, you know. Well, I had a supernatural father, I still do. And I don't understand the process, and I don't even care to, you know, but somehow he birthed me into this world in the spirit. I was born from above. So when Jesus says this stuff in John about, you know, you're from beneath, I'm from above, you're of this world, I'm not of this world, those things apply to me and to you as well. You were born in this world. Yeah, you got problems and flesh and all that stuff, you know. But he's trying to get us to another perspective where we're looking at stuff from the spirit. From a spiritual perspective, you don't have a natural dad. Your father is spirit, it says in the Bible, you know, in the word here. It says it's spirit. And because he's spirit, he had a kid. Well, his kids are going to be spirit too. And that's what you are. You don't have a natural lineage in this world. You have a supernatural lineage, and it's straight to God. When you're born from above, you're that second Adam, you know? And when you look at things spiritually, it's a total different, it's just a different world, you know? He goes on. He says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." He's walked a mile in your shoes. Quite a few, actually. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." Okay, we're talking about natural people now. "For the hour is coming." It's not, you know, above it says, in verse 25, it says, "The hour is coming and now is." But in verse 28, it says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." These are really, truly, physically dead people. You know, they're going to hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's only one thing that you can do in this world, you know, to be good. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. There's only one good thing you can do in this world, and that's to believe on him. They asked him, they said, I don't know who it was, I can't remember now. But they asked him, they said, "What? We want to work the works of God. What should we do that we can work the works of God?" And Jesus said, "This is the work of God," singular, not plural. There's only one thing you can do, and that's to believe on him whom God has sent. And if you do that, you're listening and you're being submissive and you're open. And all you got, and Ken just hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's so easy. All you got to do is listen to what he tells you to do and do it. I mean, what could be easier? We've got the easiest job in the universe, you know. I know everything's fighting against you to not, to don't let it happen, and you know. But we're being prepared. That's why I'm being trained to listen, you know. So I'll hear the voice, and you know, it'll be written about me somewhere in heaven someday. You know, the Spirit spoke to Tim, and for once Tim listened, and he did it, you know. And this is what happened, and all these people, you know, and all this stuff happened. That's what we're after. That's what I'm training to do right now when I'm listening to the CDs over and over and over, you know. I like listening to them when I'm asleep because I feel like my spirit is like, oh, man, you know. When I finally knock off and go to sleep, he's like, "Wow, I'm really glad to get rid of that knucklehead. He's so confusing, you know. I mean, now that he's asleep, I think I can really concentrate on this and learn something, you know. We can get some spiritual business done now that that guy is knocked out, you know. Because I'm not thinking about stuff, you know. There's some stuff he does want you to think about, all right. But, again, we're talking about spirit and flesh. You know, apples and oranges, they're not the same thing. Corky really brought a good point about knowing, you know. That implies intellect, that implies figuring stuff out. Well, you know, this thing about faith, understanding by faith, I think that faith is a real thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's like an organ on your natural body, you know. Like your natural body has a brain, and it thinks about stuff, and it figures stuff out, you know, and it interprets the world. Well, when you're in the spirit realm, those jobs are taken over by faith. Faith allows you to see things that aren't there, you know. And it allows you to I don't know how to describe it. See, I'm running into the problem that Gene said. I can't describe it, but I know what I'm talking about. I really do. I honestly do, because I could feel it when Ken was testifying. I could feel it when he was talking about what's coming, you know. And I feel the same thing. I really do. I think I really encourage everybody to listen as much as they possibly can right now and just prepare yourself, you know. You don't know what he's going to do. I mean, how do you know that he's not going to, you know, have you raising dead people next week or something? You know, you really don't. You don't know, and you want to be prepared. And that was Paul's whole message, you know. Let's act like he's going to show up tomorrow and just get ready, you know, because the very act of getting ready is going to get you ready. And we need to look at this from a spiritual perspective and perceive it, you know, the way that Jesus is teaching us how to do that in these verses. Because the Spirit, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. I do exercises, you know, because I like to stay in shape. I don't want to let my muscles atrophy and so forth, and I've got physical problems. By the way, if you think about it, pray for my left shoulder, which was dislocated in my accident. I think it was trying to dislocate last night. You know, it was acting all funny. It feels good now, but anyway. Yeah, the difference between spirit and natural. If we can persist in the spiritual, faith is something also that it can do something that your brain can't do in the natural. Your brain in the natural can't go into the spirit realm and figure stuff out, all right? But your faith from the spirit realm, that organ on your spiritual body, can come into this realm by believing things like healing. And I just believe. I know the Lord told me to pray for people, and I'm going to do that. And if they're healed, well, that's His will, you know. And it happens. Or, you know, say to the mountain be removed and thrown into the sea, and it happens. You know, things happen, and we can bring things into this world that are from the spirit world just by believing in them. And by exercising this thing that we call faith. We can, you know, faith is, like I said, it's like your brain in the natural. It understands things. It reasons. It can make choices, you know. It can discriminate between different things in the spirit realm. I know this because I can feel it myself. And I've also seen evidence of it, especially when people pray for stuff, you know. Faith is a real big deal, and He's teaching us about it now, and we really need to pay attention. And you can only do that by listening, you know. And like I said, man, I'm really glad. I mean, I'm with Ken. If this got any more complicated than that, I don't think I'd be able to do it. You know, if I had to study up on it, you know, or do stuff, I mean, you know, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't stick with it either. But it's a spiritual thing, you know. Like I said, before I got saved, I was dead. And now I'm alive. And I live in a living world full of living people, you know. To reach the world that's dead and the dead people, I need to be able to listen and know His voice. That's another benefit, by the way, of listening all the time. You're going to get to know His voice really, really well. You know, He said, there's going to come, you know, liars and deceivers at the end of time, and in My name. He says, they're going to come in My name and say, I am Christ, you know. And they're going to do lying signs and wonders, you know, so as to deceive even the very elect. And that's kind of scary, you know, miraculous, spiritual, powerful stuff. I mean, that's kind of scary. And you want to make sure that you're listening to the right voice, you know. And you'll be able to do that if you do what we're doing right now, and that's keep listening, 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 you know. You'll get used to His voice. You know, He said, my sheep know My voice. A stranger they're not going to follow, they will flee from, because they don't know the stranger's voice. That's the other side of listening to the Word of God. You're not listening to everything else, you know. When you're listening to the Word of God, you're not listening to these other voices. And you know what? You can, this state of mind can apply to you when you're watching Fox News like I was this morning and having my CD player going. And why is that? It's the difference between the natural and the spiritual. The TV was engaging my natural mind, you know. I wanted to see if they blew up the world yet or whatever, you know. Well, the CD player's playing and my spirit's just taking it in, you know. And I'm consumed with it. I'm exposing myself to it. Even though I'm getting ready for church and watching the tube, you know, like that, I'm still in a state of, you know, being receptive to what He's saying spiritually. And I'm still getting to be really, really familiar with His voice. And that's what we want. You know, you want to be familiar with His voice. Because these other voices that He prophesied about, they're going to be pretty powerful and scary. And you really don't want to go with them, you know. You want to know the shepherd's voice only. And you're going to do that if you're engaging your spirit, you know, with the Word. But, the Word is spirit and it's life. And I'm finding that out. I've never really felt so alive as I do now, you know. I mean, and I'm not sitting really great in the natural. I got physical problems, you know. My parts are wearing out and I don't like it. You know, it's annoying. But I don't care. I mean, I'm happier than I've ever been. And I believe it's because of this. I can do this all the time. I was off work for this last week, That's all I did practically, was just sit in my room and listen to the scriptures. And I laughed and I cried and I went through all this stuff and I'm being transformed by it, you know? I don't know what my neighbor thinks. I had a new guy move in next to me, you know? He likes to play his music pretty loud sometimes. And when he does, I got to turn up the, you know, my CD player. And then you'll stop the music, you know, and there's Alexander Scorby yelling the gospels from my room. You know? I don't know what he thinks, you know. I really don't care. I really don't care. This is good. And this is what we all need to do, is take this word in.
Glory.
Jim and I have some unbelievable conversations, which you can probably guess. But I wanted to make a comment on something I heard quite a while ago that I don't know who said it. But anyway, in 1 Timothy 3, 16, and somebody open your Bible and read that to me. 1 Timothy 3, 16.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh.
What translation?
King James.
Oh, some other translation. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Some other translation.
You want the New King James?
Yeah.
Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh.
Is that what it says in yours?
Huh?
It says that in the New King James?
They're real close.
Yeah, they are.
Some other translation.
I have the NIV here.
What's it say?
Let's see. 1 Timothy 3:16.
Yeah.
Okay. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body.
What is it?
Appeared in a body.
Who?
Was vindicated by the Spirit.
Okay, who appeared in a body?
Well, capital H, he...
I said that because I didn't know it said that in the New King James. The King James Version, I believe, is the only translation that says God was manifested in the flesh.
Does it say that in the New King James?
Yeah.
Does it
both of the King James?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was surprised when Ken said that, because I didn't think it said that in the New King James. And anyway, every other translation I can find, it does not say God was manifested in the flesh. But that's what it says in the King James. Now, we have to realize something. And it took me a while to sort this out, and I'll just a couple of minutes here. But these little differentiations, these little things that seem to be saying something different, puzzled me, and it even set me back a few years ago. And then I began to realize something. God uses imperfect vessels, but he still speaks through them. And the translators, the ones that translated, that King James was a staunch Trinitarian, the king. And I had for a long time, I don't have it now, but I had the, the translation of the King James. What was it? Does anybody remember? I had for a long time, I had a certain rendition of the King James. I can't think of the name, guy's name. Frank
Thompson.
Frank Thompson. And anyway, and so I read it, and all of the footnotes, everything, you know, footnote after footnote after footnote, found Trinity in things that had nothing to do with the Trinity. Well, then come to find out, Frank Thompson was a staunch Trinitarian, so his footnotes made Trinity out of whatever. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, in the King James, it says God was manifested in the flesh. Well, was he? Yes, he was. But not the way that most people, a Trinitarian, would translate it. They would say, you know, God the Son was manifested in the flesh. But God was manifested in the flesh. And because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Of course he was. But not in the way that most people would translate it. You follow what I'm saying? And so here we have 1 Timothy 3:16. I was surprised when I discovered the only place I could find that God was manifested in the flesh, or right here, was in the King James.
There's a note here in the NIV. It says, some manuscripts say God inspired David. So that was a manuscript problem.
A lot of times when they say some manuscripts, there may or may not be some manuscripts, you know what I mean? Or I don't know that they could get away with a blatant...
Manuscripts say things different. You know, the one thing it does say that I was surprised, they said, but all this was done by imperfect men. Mm-hmm. So they were at least willing to acknowledge.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Maybe they might not be totally...
Well,
the
thing about it is that, you know, I'm not sure, and I'll leave this on the machine here, but I'm not sure that I have, you know, all of these things. I know that I'm as imperfect as you are, as everybody else. But anyway, the thing about it is that there are certain issues in the Bible that I feel are vital. Okay, there are certain issues. One of them is the identity of Christ. Is he a man or is he a deity? What is he? Well, we slowly begin to realize from the scriptures, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, Genesis through Revelation, that Jesus is a man. And the fact, and the thing about it is that, you know, that he was what he was by the foreknowledge of God versus anything else. God knew that this man was going to, that he was going to have this man. And so, anyway, it's kind of like what happened on March 15th, 1982, at 10 o'clock at night. We were surprised by deliverance. You know what? In the fullness of God's time, God surprised us with deliverance. When God's time is ready. And so somebody just recently made a statement to me. They said, well, how come we don't see more miracles and things? And I mean, you guys are listening to the word. How come, and this is from somebody from the outside, how come that we don't see all of these things happening? And I said, I'm not even challenged by that question. Because in the fullness of God's time, it will happen. I don't know when Smith Wigglesworth started doing the signs and wonders and the miracles and things that happened. But I do know there was a day when I started falling in love with God's Word. See, it says, if you are in me, you abide in me, and my Word is alive in you, abides in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. That's a promise. There was a day that Joanne and I mean, we had fallen in love with the Word of God. There was a day when the Jerome Wagenius healing took place, and we saw one right after the other. But another thing, and I don't know who it was that was talking about, I think it was Ken. And at the same time, it almost appeared that everybody we witnessed to got saved. It's almost like we couldn't make a mistake. Do you follow what I'm saying? It didn't happen before that. And we haven't seen a lot of that since then. But there was a day when God set it up, and you know what? These people were ready before we got there. You know how the Bible says that and as many as should be saved? What do you mean? Is that predestination? I'm going to close it with that.